It is possible to dehumanize man completely and yet for life to go on. In a society that builds machines which act like men and creates men who act like machines, it is possible that you, too, may come to love Big Brother. And now...
Welcome to episode 28 of the Documentally podcast on documentally.com. Today, for a change, I'm sat at my desk in my office, laptop open, suffering a mild shock brought about by a small realisation. Those of you that tend to read or check out the blog first will see that I've titled this podcast Facebook, Innocent Social Networking Website or High-Tech Spy Network. Sounds sensational, doesn't it? And that's the question I'd like to answer today. The web is generational, progressive. We have truly hit Web 2.0. Nowadays, we acquire our social technological skills through the internet, less face-to-face and much more face-to-screen. At school, I talked and wrote letters. At uni and the following year spent travelling, it was email. More recently, it's mobile phone, email, text, instant messaging, forums and voice-over internet protocol. Most, if not all, of my friends today remain proficient at email, instant messaging and mobile phone use. Those old friends that aren't have turned into acquaintances and some have slipped right out of sight. That rings true for some family too, I'm afraid. It's not uncommon for today's 13-year-old to be communicating through gaming channels, blog comments, text messages, photo messages, mobile phones, voice over internet protocol, Twitter, and a host of others I've yet to discover. Some of these social trends are adopted almost instantly and virus-like across age groups and social networks. Those involved now learn newer and easier ways of getting through to their lattice of digitally minded acquaintances. This is old news to most of the people I communicate with, as many in my social technological circles are old hands at these methods and are ready to grab hold of any new techno fad that hits their screens. So what's really new? Well, at the moment I've found myself sucked into the virtual world of Facebook. Kind of a MySpace for the more discerning web networker. I finally found myself giving in to the incessant barrage of Facebook requests from friends that could quite easily just email me, partly through a feeling of inadequacy when these same people say, "Oh, you don't have a Facebook account?" Well, now I do, and if I thought Google's data mining activities were over, nothing could have prepared me for Facebook. I guess all this has been a roundabout way of trying to say Facebook owns you. Perhaps not in physical form, but as far as your virtual online life goes, and Lord knows that's the largest portion of our waking lives nowadays. Facebook owns the data, use patterns, preferences, communications, and adoption trends of the entire next web generation. What's more, the data acquired through all of your innocent online ramblings is incredibly clean, trustworthy, and as collated as any marketer could dream of. But it's not just all marketing. There's something much more sinister in Facebook's digital files. Facebook owns the data of the first generation to live their entire lives online, a generation that will spend their lives studying and trying to get to grips with the world and its intricacies. Do I already in my 30s feel a generation chasm opening up between me and all those to follow? This is the same but different to Google's data collection techniques. If Google takes its time behind the scenes sorting through your Google Mail, blogs and web searches to profile you, Facebook is straight in there offering you convenient little white boxes for you to fill in all of your little secrets, your heart's desires and any other personal info you may whisper a friend. If a man in a dark suit arrived at your door, unannounced, asking for your name, date of birth, marital status, name of partner, political views, religious persuasion, address, phone number, details of all your friends, list of the kind of books you read and films you watch, poems you've written, a few diary entries, and to top it all, wanted a selection of photos with descriptions of all those also in the pictures, would you busy yourself providing a shoebox with all this handy information just so he could take it away? No, I wouldn't either. I'd at least ask him who he was and what he wanted it for. If his answer was something about being a multinational corporation worth billions of dollars, and that all he wanted to do was help you make friends and keep those that are your friends informed of what you're up to, would that make you any more likely to hand over your whole life's details to him? It's absurd on so many levels, and yet en masse we seem to blindly offer ourselves up on a plate. The only difference is we've not been able to look these guys in their collective faces. And has anyone actually bothered to read the small print? The details in which the devil lives? Here is an extract of the first page of the many-page terms and conditions. All content on the site and available through the service, including but not limited to designs, text, graphics, pictures, video, information, applications, software, music, sound and other files, and their selection and arrangement, the site content, are the proprietary property of the company. Just in case that statement wasn't clear and frightening enough, on my blog there's a longer extract that pretty much states, I hereby surrender all rights of ownership, control and use of everything I've posted on Facebook. You may say that this is the norm. If so, how did we let it get this way? Is our privacy worth this little? Wikipedia has a concise history and also raises the privacy issue, quoting a line that has appeared in Facebook's privacy agreement as stating, we may use information about you that we collect from other sources, including but not limited to newspapers and internet sources such as blogs, instant messaging services, and other users of Facebook, to supplement your profile. Another clause that some users are critical of reserves the right to sell users' data to private companies, stating, we may share your information with third parties, including responsible companies with which we have a relationship. Well, how so very nice of them. So in a nutshell, what are the pros and cons? I guess anything that fosters communication and spreads ideas has some inherent goodness. Its design makes it ridiculously easy to use, and it is always good to meet new people. Combine that with the fact it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you're allowed to advertise on it, and it's hardly surprising why people are kind of flocking to use it. Like lemmings, maybe. With all I've just said regarding the terms of use and privacy, you'd think this is enough for people to be wary. Many are. Have a look about the web and you'll see more than a few concerned people critical of Facebook. In my opinion, it's all too easy for some people to become addicted to it and obsessed by what is a distraction. It breeds procrastination, I should know. There is no real human interaction, only odd counterfeit relationships. People pretending to be interested in others in the hope they collect more friends and people to look at their facts and figures and blogs and interests. Also, it's open to anybody and everybody, be they salespeople, government agents or stalkers. Who is really behind that icon or avatar? When communication is reduced to a few lines of text, how do we know what is really being implied? How can we really communicate? This is all coupled with the incredible technology designed purely for extracting personal and potentially useful marketable information. Frankly, I can't see why any educated and informed person would even log on. Curiosity, maybe. Well, go ahead. Sign up if you dare. But before you do, do some homework on what you're signing up for. Take a look around the web and read some of the concerns. To save time, you could just head over to my blog at www.documentally.com and there's a whole host of links. You may even stumble upon the speculation of the CIA and the shadowy Information Awareness Office that also have links to the funding of Facebook. Oh yes. Ultimately, the decision is yours. As long as you are fully aware that in this Orwellian community, all you write, post, mention, show, mail, blog and comment is fully accessible and archived by numerous people behind the scenes, and if you're cool with that, then no problem. I hope nothing you write comes back to haunt you, I really do. So in answer to my question, is Facebook an innocent social networking website or a state-of-the-art intelligence gathering organisation? It's both. Right, well, thank you for listening this far, and as I talk about Facebook here, you may well realise I could be talking about any online social networking site. Just to let you know the music that I've been playing, the first track was by a band called Rebel Soul Band. They're at rebelsoulband.com. Check out their new album, of which I played a track called Big Brother, appropriately enough. The very low in the mix music you might just have picked up in the middle of the podcast was by a mate of mine called Kundama. That was called Spring. I must let him know that I used that. And at the end here is a band called Anti-Flag and Welcome to 1984.
You are listening to documentary.com. Ty posloucháš documentary.com.
Who would Jesus fall? Yeah, who would Jesus kill? The double talk is past surreal. The word of God is now the word of hate. wars, peace and freedom is the police state. Can't you see the writing on the wall? Democracy lays trampled on the floor. You better believe that, hell yeah, I'm confused for sure. What I thought was the new millennium is 1984. Nestor Orwell from the grave, adding fresh ink to the page as the young president declares an endless war. Welcome to 1984. Feels like Nazi Germany and Hitler on TV as the young president spews homophobic speech. Didn't the Allies fight a war to end extremist fascist laws? So tell me now, what are the fuck we fighting for? I just cannot take it anymore. Democracy lays trampled on the floor. Man, isn't freedom great? Hell yeah, I'm confused for sure. What I thought was the new millennium is 1984. Mr. Orwell from the grave, adding fresh ink to the page as the young president declares an endless war. Now we've got armies of peace, armed to the teeth, delivering death to make the world a better place. So celebrate the weapons, spend it, say a toast to Armageddon and raise some hell. We're all headed straight to hell. Hell yeah, I'm confused for sure. What I thought was the new millennium is 1984. Mr. Orwell from the grave, adding fresh ink to the page as the young president declares an endless war. Welcome to 1984.
A few agents of the Thought Police moved always among them, spreading false rumors and marking down and eliminating the few individuals who were judged capable of becoming dangerous. All that was required of them was a primitive patriotism, which could be appealed to whenever it was necessary to make them accept longer working hours or shorter rations. And even when they became discontented, as they sometimes did, their discontent led nowhere, because being without general ideas, they could only focus it on petty, specific grievances. The larger evils invariably escaped their notice.
The Progressive Podcast Network.
ProgressivePodcastNetwork.org. Hi, this is Bill, host of the Florida Soapbox Podcast. On my show, you'll get world and national news, plus opinion from a left-wing perspective with plenty of humor. You'll also hear music, interviews, and commentary from Charlie the Conservative Chipmunk. You can find me at flasoapbox.podomatic.com, or you can find me on Google or iTunes. And I'm also a proud member of the Progressive Podcast Network, the Florida Soapbox.
This virus of repression is spreading, and more governments across the world that fear the free speech which the internet allows are increasingly trying to block websites and arrest bloggers.
Documentally.com, where telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act.